Here's the bad news. I'm doing it again. Here's the good news. Once we hit our goal for our matching gift campaign at the end of the year, I'll stop preempting, well, me, I guess. If you are not yet a gospel partner, would you please consider joining us at this time? You can double your impact. We have a matching gift campaign going on. It is a big one. It is our desire to hit and, well, honestly, exceed that goal, because the more people give, the more we will do to get the gospel out to university campuses, social media, TV, and radio. We want people to be saved. And if that is the type of ministry that really lights you up when it comes to giving, well, would encourage you to visit our website, fortisinstitute.org. Check us out. See all the things that we're doing, all the people that we're associated with. And it is my hope, as the year draws to a close, you'll help us hit that goal by becoming a gospel partner. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
New from Laodicea Records, A Jerry Lewis Christmas.
Silent night! Holy night!
All your holiday favorites with that famous Jerry Lewis twist.
Hey, lady! Santa Claus is coming to town!
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Jerry Lewis.
You're a mean one, Mr. Martin. You know, you really are a heel.
Order your copy now and receive a bonus copy of A Jerry Lewis Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah! Happy Hanukkah!
How can one man sing both Christian and Jewish songs? Does that really matter? Get your copy of A Jerry Lewis Christmas today and have a very Jerry Christmas.
Felicia Rashad! Felicia Rashad! Felicia Rashad, the lady on the Cosby Show. She played Theo's mom. Hello.
Did I mention we're at PV Plaza? That's where we are. And I'm having a little debate in my brain right now whether we should talk to somebody who is awake or somebody who's sleeping. There's a guy sleeping. Hey, will you guys talk to me on the radio? What's your name?
Lindsay.
How you doing, Lindsay? I'm Todd.
How are you?
Are you working and just taking a little break?
Yeah, a little break.
Okay, so we're out talking to people. You ready for this? We're talking to people about what happens to them when they die. What do you think happens to you when you die, Lindsay?
I think if you're good, you go to heaven.
Do you think you're a good person?
I am a good person.
So you think you're going to heaven?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you know if you're good?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's do a quiz, all right? Okay, let's do a quiz. How do you know if you're a good person? Have you ever told a lie?
Probably.
Okay, so if you've told a lie, what kind of person tells a lie?
Well, I only do it if it's good for the other person, if it's something that they shouldn't know. Like, if it's going to hurt them to know the truth, then I would tell a lie.
Okay, but if I told a lie, what would I be?
You'd be bad if it was a lie to your benefit, I think.
I'd be a liar, wouldn't I?
A liar.
Okay. So have you ever stolen anything?
Never.
Ever?
Ever.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Now, you just told me you're a liar. How am I supposed to believe this? Not a piece of gum, paperclip, long-distance phone call at work, anything?
No.
Oh, yes, that counts. Hold on. We can do the test with you next if you'd like. Any piece of some money out of your parents' pockets when you were a kid?
Maybe. Something very small.
Oh, what did I just hear in the background? Okay, so there's some revealing information. Did you ever steal some alcohol from your parents' cabinet when you were a kid?
Back when I was a kid, long time ago.
Okay. How's about this one? As you're sitting here on this beautiful plaza, looking out over things, have you ever looked at anybody with lust in your heart?
Probably, but not here today.
Okay, but not here today. Nothing good today, huh?
No, no goods.
Okay, but you've done that before. So lying, stealing, and lusting after somebody in your heart, after somebody. You think you're pretty good? So let's just say you stand before God on Judgment Day, and he drills you like that, gives you the Ten Commandments. Like, I just gave you 3 of the Ten Commandments. Do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I think that God will forgive me for any little things that I've done wrong.
Well, first of all, let's establish if you're going to be innocent or guilty. What do you think?
Probably guilty, I guess.
Okay, so if you're going to be guilty, do you think that you're going to go to heaven or hell?
I'm still going to go to heaven.
When you're guilty? He's going to let guilty people into heaven?
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Because he's going to forgive me.
Why?
Because God forgives.
Because God forgives.
Why? So he's gonna let rapists and murderers and blasphemers and not them.
No, I think that he's kind of got a continuum, and if you're like way on one end, then.
All right, we went through three commandments. How's about this one? Have you ever been angry at anybody?
Yeah, I've been angry.
Okay, the Bible says that if you're angry with somebody, that's the same as committing murder in your heart, because God judges the intentions of the heart. Yeah, so what do you think about that idea? So if God judges you and finds you guilty of murder, do you think you're still going to heaven?
I'm not going to be guilty of murder.
Well, that's what Jesus said, that if you look at somebody, if you're angry with somebody, that's like murder. And he also said that if you just look at somebody with lust in your heart, that's the same as committing adultery. So you've done those two things, and you're going to be guilty. Is he going to let you into heaven?
I don't know. Yeah.
Why?
This is so frustrating.
Well, really, I mean, this is kind of important. If it's true, you said that you think you're going to heaven. If you think that your soul's going to live on, and if it's possible you're not going to heaven, I think it's kind of important to figure out now, don't you?
Probably. So what are you suggesting I do?
Well, I don't have a suggestion right yet, but I'm just wondering why you think that God's going to let you into heaven if you've broken his commandments.
I'll figure that out. I'll figure that out and get back to you.
So you don't know right now?
Nope, don't know.
So do you think that the scenario that I'm painting is possible?
Yes.
Okay, so now can I give you my suggestion?
Okay, yeah.
All right, you mentioned Christianity, right? What do you know about Christianity? Specifically, what do you know about Jesus Christ?
Jesus died on a cross for our sins.
Really? That's an interesting bite of information. What does that mean?
It means that when he gave up his life for us, that he was washing away our sins.
Well, that's interesting new information. I thought you were going to heaven because you're a good person.
I'm going to heaven because of Jesus.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's how you need to get to heaven too. I think that's how you need to get to heaven too. Because the Bible says when you die, you're going to be absent from your body, present with the Lord, and he's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, everything that's ever gone through your brain. And you're going to have to give an account. And as you indicated, you're going to be found guilty. And unless you have somebody to pay your fine for you, you're in a world of trouble. And God's going to send people to hell for breaking his laws. And like you said, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, came to earth, died on a cross, took the punishment that you should get so that you'll be found not guilty on your day of judgment.
Okay.
You agree with that? So here's the tricky part, though. What do you do with that information?
You do good for other people.
Okay, now, what do you do specifically with the information that Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you don't have to be punished?
Spread the word.
What do you do with it personally? Before you spread it, that little information that we just went through, what does that do for you or to you, or what do you do with that information?
I'm going to be a leader for a church group for high school students and spread the word to them and help them spread the word to their friends.
Okay, that's all good stuff. But this is the tricky part that a lot of people don't understand. And I'm gonna help you understand it by way of a story, okay? I want to put you on an airplane, and you're flying along at 35,000 feet. When the pilot comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for flying our airline. I have some bad news. The tail just fell off of the airplane. We're going to be crashing in just a few moments. Oh, by the way, there's a parachute underneath everybody's seat." Now, what would you do with that parachute in that situation?
I'm going to strap it on my back and live.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to put it. Why don't you just sit there and go, "Ah, yes, there's a parachute underneath my seat that would save me. I believe that," but you don't put it on. Why wouldn't you do that?
You have a death wish?
Exactly. You would, because it doesn't save you. Just believing in it doesn't save you, does it?
No.
Same thing is true with that information about Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's not enough to just believe in it, to go, "Oh, yeah, I believe that could save me." Because even the Bible says that even the demons believe that, and they tremble, but they're not going to heaven. So you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you'd put on a parachute, in order to be saved. All right? What do you think of that idea?
Great idea.
All right. So what do you think you're going to do with that information?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to wear it.
Okay, and what happens if you don't?
You're going to come back and haunt me?
Nope.
Then, I don't know a good answer to that.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
22, you're very young. How long do you think you're going to live?
94.
94, so a long time from now. But it's possible that you could die today or get some really horrible news and die soon, right?
Right.
Okay, that's why this is actually very important. That's what the Bible teaches, that you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that when your day of judgment comes, and we never know when that is, you'll be right before God. So I would just encourage you to think about what we talked about and think about getting right before God.
Okay, I'll do that.
Do you know how to do that?
Where, Jesus Christ?
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you make that start?
I don't know. You better tell me.
Alrighty, as long as you've asked. What you need to do is find a quiet place, get before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I didn't know that you're going to judge me someday, and I didn't realize how poorly I was going to do on that day. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins because Jesus died for them, and I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I promise to follow you all the days of my life. And then he forgives you for your sins. You get up, you start reading his Bible, do what it says, and then you move from death to life, and you won't go to hell anymore, and you'll go to heaven to be with the one who loves you so much that despite the fact you broke his law, he saves you anyway.
Good. Sounds good to me.
You're being kind of sarcastic with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
All right. Hey, can I give you something to read on your next little break here? All right. I know you're 22. Are you good enough to go to heaven? Most important question you can ever ask. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. Okay, see ya. How can you stand sitting out here this long?
I don't know. I just love the sun.
Anna, do you have sunblock on?
No, none.
You know, when I was 22, you could sit out in the sun forever. You sit out in the sun now for like 15 minutes, you're going to get cooked, you know?
Well, that's the...
See, I'm not just worried about your soul. I'm worried about your skin.
The plan is to be tan.
See, I don't want you to bake any place. That's what I'm getting at here. All right. Hey, thanks for your time, okay? Okay, see ya. All righty. One of the things that I've noticed about these witness encounters, that when you follow this basic formula of, do you think you're a good person, walking somebody through the commandments, when you get to innocent or guilty, that's when it starts to happen. And when you finally get them to confess, I'm going to be guilty before God, their face changes, doesn't it? They get a different look on their face, like, oh boy, this, I don't know for sure where it's going, but I sense that it's not going the way that I want it to go.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. And it is not what you think. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, did you hear any of that stuff? Tell me what you thought about what I just said, okay? What's your name?
Erin.
Erin, what'd you think about what we just talked about?
Well, considering I was answering a lot of the questions for her, I just graduated from the University of St. Thomas, a Catholic school, so I've been drilled with that information for the past 4 years.
Do you believe that information?
I do.
That thing about the parachute and putting on Jesus Christ, right. What do you think about that concept?
I think that's completely true, because if you don't live your life as a Christian and show it for other people to see, then you're not really spreading God's love and God's word the way that you should be.
A lot of people talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's really the primary thing is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, about knowing him. Do you think that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I do. I'm probably not as strong as a relationship as what I should.
What does that mean?
Well, oftentimes you feel like you could do more, or you don't pray enough, or you don't...
How often do you pray?
Every day.
How often do you read your Bible?
Ooh, not very often.
When was the last time you read your Bible?
Probably by myself, not for months, but...
Are you engaged or married or anything?
No.
Boyfriend?
Yep.
Okay, let's just say that you went away on a trip, okay, and you were gone because you had to work for 3 months, and your boyfriend sent you love letters and called and left messages at the hotel desk, but you never took the time to open up his letters, and you never returned his phone calls. Now, if I were just examining that, what do you think I would conclude about how you feel about your boyfriend?
I don't feel anything for my boyfriend.
Okay, so do you think it's been at least 3 months since you've read your Bible?
Yeah, not, I mean, that I've actually opened it myself and read it, but I actively go to church every Sunday and am involved in youth groups. So in a way, I'm reading the Bible indirectly, but not...
Actually. Okay, but you hear the analogy, don't you? That right. You'd probably conclude, maybe that person isn't very fond of the person sending the letters. That's what the Bible is. It's a bunch of letters to us from God. So what do you think somebody might conclude if they saw your Christian walk, your relationship with him, and you weren't ever reading his love letters to you?
Not good.
Yeah, so why do you think it's not as good as it should be?
Time. I think that's a problem. Maybe even sometimes I need a reminder. I think if I had someone calling me every night to tell me to do it, then obviously I would do it more often. It's not that I don't want to. It's just I'm tired. I go right to bed, you know, and it's not that I can't just do it at night, but I think time.
Can I share something with you? You seem like a very nice person. You really do seem like a nice person. That you've, you do, and you've thought some of these things through, and you go to church and what have you. I used to be that way a lot, too. I kind of acknowledged God, and I went, oh, yes, he definitely exists. And I believed it, but I never put him on. And the reason I didn't put him on was because I thought that God was just this big, nice guy out there who just kind of existed to take care of us and do nice things for us. But then I learned that what the Bible says is that he is loving, but he's also righteous, and he's just, and he's holy. And there's going to come a day of judgment when he judges us for everything that we do and think. And when I understood that, and when I understood the Ten Commandments, is how he's going to judge us, because the Ten Commandments are the perfect example of God's character. And I realized, whoa, I am not going to do well on that day of judgment. And the only way that I can access that forgiveness of Jesus dying on the cross is if I repent and put my trust in the one who, despite the fact that he really should send me to hell, instead, he chose to die for me, which is just like the opposite extreme. And when I really started to understand that, wow, instead of punishing me, he took the punishment for me, and I repented. I got on my knees, and I begged God to forgive me for it. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, and I promise I'm going to live my life for you instead of me now. That's when it all changed. I got saved. And then the craziest thing happened. I just started reading my Bible because I wanted to. And I prayed because I just wanted to talk to that one that did that incredible thing for me. So I wonder, do you think maybe that might be the problem with your Christian walk, is that you've never really recognized and understood the exceeding sinfulness of your sin and God's amazing grace in saving us? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, somewhat, but I don't think I agree with the fact that I need to get down on my knees and ask for or beg for what.
Why not?
I don't know. I just think there's other ways of going about that. And
how do you think that is?
I don't even know a good example. It's just like just living your life as a true Christian. I think God realizes that, not necessarily. I guess, I don't know. I kind of go both ways. I guess it is necessary to maybe ask for that. And I do ask for forgiveness, and I do ask to be part of God's kingdom and everything like that. But I don't think it's necessary to.
What happened to Jesus was he got whipped with something called a cat of nine tails. Do you know what that is? and they would whip their back, and flesh was torn off of his back. They beat his back, and they beat his legs. They punched him in the face. They spit on him. They smashed thorns on his head, and then they drove nails into his wrist. And then they also said that what they've learned is that the nails didn't go through the top of the feet. You know, you probably see the picture of Jesus dying, and the nails went through the top of his feet. Well, because the nails that they find near crucifixion sites aren't long enough for that, they think that what they did was instead they banged the nails through the Achilles right here and nailed their feet to the side of the cross. So knowing that, that God hates sin that much, that he punished his own son that much for sin, you don't think it's appropriate to get on your knees and beg God for mercy when he obviously hates sin that much?
I do, but I don't. I don't think it's necessary to get on your knees and beg for it.
He's just going to give it to you. Why?
No, I don't think he's just going to give it to you, but I don't think you literally need to get on your knees and beg for it.
All right, let's go back to your boyfriend scenario, okay? How close are you with your boyfriend?
Very close.
Okay, so your boyfriend, it turns out, just had an affair with her.
Okay, then I would get on my knees and beg for it. I can see where this one's going.
Yeah, you
I don't know, actually.
Well, if your boyfriend, let's say your boyfriend had an affair with her, with Lindsay, all right? And your boyfriend came to you and said, hey, I had an affair with Lindsay. I just wanted you to know that. And I'm going to try to be pretty good from now on. Right. Do you think you'd take him back?
Probably over time. Actually,
you'd expect a little more, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, if he was really sorry, there'd probably be tears. He'd be sorry. He'd be begging for your forgiveness.
Yep.
Okay, see, that's a good analogy. See, we need to understand how God feels about our sin. And until we do, we're just going to treat God kind of casually. But when you understand that, yes, he's love, but he's also a righteous judge who hates sin so much. What the Bible says that when that happened to Jesus, the Bible actually says it pleased God that that happened. When we understand that.
Do you think the only way, or you're treating God casually if you don't get on your knees and beg for his?
Well, let's go back to your boyfriend. Do you think he'd be treating you kind of casually if he wasn't a little bit sorrowful?
Yeah, but he's not God also.
No, but we're talking about your position before God. I mean, how's about with your parents? Let's say that you were a kid and you ever break something, ever wreck something of your parents? And you stood before your parents and you said, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry I broke that really expensive vase. I'm going to work really hard on not doing it again, and I'm going to be a pretty good kid. Your parents would probably be a little torqued with a rather casual response to breaking something very valuable, wouldn't they?
Right. But do you consider praying to God for forgiveness and being a part of his kingdom and everything acceptable, or is it just literally getting on your knees and begging?
Well, see, I don't know what posture you need to assume, because I don't think God judges the posture, but I think it's probably indicative of how you're really feeling in your heart.
Well, then, you know, that's different. I mean, just by being in Christian relationships, being in Christian youth groups.
Well, see, he's not looking for that. He's not looking for that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Let me share something really interesting with you. When the angel came to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have a baby, she said, I can't have a baby because I've never known a man. The word to know, I've never known a man. And we know that that's an intimate thing, right? And what Jesus says is, when on the day of judgment, some people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. I did this. I clothed people. I fed people. I did all kinds of things in your name, Jesus. And he's going to say, depart from me, you wicked one, into everlasting hellfire. I never knew you. And it's the same word that Mary used about knowing a man. See, God wants an intimate, knowing relationship with you. Right. What's most important is not the stuff that you do. It's your relationship to him.
But you're getting to know God when you're in church and when you're in youth groups and when you're singing and praising him. I mean, it's not.
Well, I'm going to try another analogy with your boyfriend, okay?
Back to work soon.
Okay, let's go back to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend says, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Don't want to spend a whole lot of time with you, but I'm going to go see a lot of movies, and I'll think about you sometimes, and I'm going to go out to dinner without you, but we'll still be dating, and we're going to have a close relationship. What would you think about that?
I would say no, but then again, I would go back and say that a boyfriend and Jesus Christ are two different people.
Absolutely they are, but that's what he wants. See, he doesn't want us to just be tripping through life for ourselves. He wants us to live for him. And if we don't exhibit that through what we do, it proves that, well, we really don't feel that way about him. And what he says is, sorry, depart from me, you wicked one, in everlasting hellfire. I never knew you. See, he wants to know you.
Are you out here trying to make people feel bad?
No, you know what? The reason that I'm not out here to make people feel bad, I'm hoping that people will understand what the Bible says so that when you do die, that you're safe, you're taken care of. And the other nice thing is all he wants to do is save you. It's not like he wants to torture you, make you a member of a cult. He just wants to have a relationship with you and have you live your life for him. So that's not a horrible thing.
No, it's not too bad.
But you recognize, probably rightly so, you recognize it asks for a lifestyle change.
Yeah, it does. And I think the way you're describing it is obviously a true, perfect Christian in probably God's eyes. But I think, and not saying that it can't happen, but living in today's society, it's really hard to do exactly everything that the Bible says. And
we can't be perfect, but I don't think that God's going to be tricked or fooled any more than you'd be tricked by a boyfriend who kind of gives some attention to you. You're not going to be fooled by that. You're going to know the difference, and God will too.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. We are broadcasting live from down at PV Plaza in downtown Minneapolis. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.